in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome to a Victory Monday edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. I am your host and publisher of the Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, Ross Uglum, and joining me right here in the lovely Bison Report studios in beautiful Horace, North Dakota, Zach Willis. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Nothing better than a Victory Monday.
No, especially not against a team like Northern Iowa. It was fun to see a sellout crowd. That was you and I loud.
It was good to hear a sellout crowd.
Yeah, it was.
It was awesome.
It was. Diving right here into the news, I got to say, I'm impressed, man, with just a perfect Bison Saturday. It's very difficult to have a better Saturday if you're a Bison fan. North Dakota State beats you and I, and therefore, Northern Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota State, and JMU all go down. It's really difficult to have a better Saturday than that.
Yeah, and it was homecoming. Everybody's out by four. I mean, it literally does not get better for a Bison fan.
No, it was fantastic. We could have done without the rain, perhaps.
Yeah.
But
you can't win them all.
No, you can't win them all. That result obviously caused a pretty significant shakeup in the polls. And you've got two Valley teams in the top four right now, and North Dakota State at number two. Some pretty wild speculation that Eastern Washington would end up two because they arguably have a greater strength of schedule. But I just think you've seen, you know, kind of what happens when NDSU and EWU match up. And until something different happens, until you have, you know, kind of like a different look, when those two teams lock up, I think you have to give NDSU the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise.
Yeah, and, you know, like we heard for, and I'm sure everybody who's ever been through the program, at least in the last 10 to 12 years, the only poll that matters is the last one.
So, yes.
You know, it all shakes out in the end, but it's always fun to, you know, see these guys get their flowers. And I think Eastern Washington is a good team, but like you said, based on recent games, the Bison get that advantage against Eastern Washington.
Right, and I mean, I will say there is a poll that matters or a ranking that matters, and that is the playoff seeding.
Sure.
You know, that is important. Arguably doesn't matter a ton as long as you're one or two.
Right.
You know, that seems to be the most important thing. But I'm just going to tell you right now, unless something absolutely bonkers happens, specifically probably Sam Houston State losing to Jacksonville State at home, which I really don't see as something that could happen.
Right.
Their opportunity to lose was probably that Stephen F. Austin game that they should have lost.
Right.
I don't think they're going to drop a game.
No, I wouldn't think so either. And I mean, that's fitting because they brought back a pretty talented squad from last year. But, you know, as we've seen with JSU and even other Bison fans are familiar with, it really depends which team shows up because
yeah,
they either beat Florida State or lose something embarrassing.
Right, right. And so, you know, I think you've got more than likely a 10-0 Sam Houston State team. And while I think this version of the Bison is better than last year's version of Sam Houston State,
agreed,
that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because when you're the defending champions and you go undefeated, you get to be the number one seed.
Yeah, get that benefit of the doubt.
100%.
So, you earn it. That's what it is.
So ultimately, North Dakota State is fighting for that number two seed more than likely. And what that means is they either need South Dakota State to lose another game or they need to beat South Dakota State in Brookings.
Right. Just keep winning. That's all that matters.
Yeah. They do control their own destiny, obviously. I think if this team does not lose a game, there's no way they're not a top two seed.
Right.
Other, I guess, interesting things in that poll, Southern Illinois moves up to four. Southern Illinois is a scary team because absolutely, they do not have to play NDSU. They are not on the schedule.
Right.
So they could run through the Valley now having beaten South Dakota State on the road.
Right.
You could potentially see a one-loss SIU team with the only loss being kind of a game they didn't get their ass kicked in Manhattan against Kansas State.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to tip my hat to SIU. Their head coach's name is slipping my mind here.
Nick Hill.
It's really impressive what he has going there. I don't know how much longer he's going to be there before someone else calls his name.
Right.
But, I mean, that's not – like, the last few years is not SIU of traditional what you'd expect from the Salukis. That SDSU game, they're down and out if it's 5 years ago. But they fought back, and, you know, I was really impressed with their performance.
If I'm a MAC team, I'm all over Nick Hill.
Yeah.
I'm all over Nick Hill. No question about it. All right, James Madison, it falls to six. South Dakota State falls to seven. And then Montana State and Montana round out the top nine at 8 and 9. Eastern Tennessee at 10. UNI at 12. UNI actually, I think, goes up in the rankings by losing to North Dakota State.
Yeah. I mean,
somewhat odd.
Yeah.
North Dakota drops to 22.
From 13.
Likely, honestly, unless they run the table ending their season.
Yeah, I mean, 0-2 in the Valley is not how you want to start it, and 2-3 overall is not a good start to a season that, you know, we heard from everybody in Grand Forks was going to be a good year.
Well, Zach, they're defending Valley champions.
No, they're not. Them and six other teams. Good for you. Hang the banner.
So, I mean, this is a really interesting game. A really interesting game on Saturday in Carbondale. Because one of two things happens. Either UND's season actually ends. Because if you go to Carbondale and lose and go to 0-3 in the Valley,
it's over.
Even if you beat Western, Missouri State, Youngstown State, Illinois State, and beat South Dakota State in Brookings.
All of which is not happening, but yes.
You're not getting in, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either.
At what would that be? Ultimately 6-4?
Yeah, I mean.
And 5-3 in the Valley?
That's not a playoff team resume, I believe.
7-4.
Sure.
You'd be 7-4 and
okay, yeah, I guess. They need to win this.
But
Saturday.
Like you said, like running the table seems incredibly unlikely.
Right.
Considering what they've done so far.
Yep.
Winning in Springfield, sure, but winning in Brookings, I don't know.
They're at home against Youngstown, but I mean, the Penguins always play hard.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's not a gimme either.
No, it's not. But yeah, you look at Southern Illinois, man, you're really talking about a team that has to kind of get past UND here.
Yeah.
And then it gets a little bit coasty. You go, well, maybe not coasty, but you go to at Northern Iowa, that's your main roadblock. And then all you've got to do, because they've already played six games, all you've got to do is win at home against Missouri State, go out to Terre Haute and win, and defend your home turf against Youngstown on Senior Day.
Yeah. I mean, I like that position for Southern Illinois.
I do, too. I absolutely do. So, very, very interesting Valley schedule going down the pike. And as we mentioned, North Dakota State has to do one thing, and that is just keep winning.
Just win, baby.
Absolutely. I think, honestly, Zach, they're getting into a position to win a couple of games handily before it gets real serious again.
Yeah, and, you know, that might be a good thing where it's, you know, you kind of, all right, whatever, we're through these first couple of grinders, and it was ugly, and it was tough, and guys are banged up, so let's just take care of business and then get ready to go play in Brookings.
All righty. One thing wanted to mention, we had a tweet right before the game of all the guys that were missing. And that, I think, is just something that we wanted to touch on real briefly about all of the guys that were not available for North Dakota State. So guys that didn't play in that game, Luke Wirtz, Hunter Brosio, DJ Hart, Tyler Terhark, James Kayser, Jalen Sundell, and Braden Thomas. That's a lot of dudes, which meant that a lot of young cats had to play.
Yeah, and it was pretty impressive performances by their replacements, if we're being honest.
For sure. I mean, specifically, we'll get to it, but Cole Wisniewski was almost, or was an honorable mention, Defensive Player of the Week for the Valley. He was on the list of notable performances. I continue to wonder how you find a way to get him on the field and not just on special teams.
Right, and that's what happens when you recruit the way NDSU does because, I mean, James Kayser is a guy who needs to be on the field as well. So however you figure it out, but there's just too much talent to have on the sideline.
Yeah, and it's tough because, like, you don't just tell James, yeah, by the way, your defensive snaps are gone because you hurt your groin.
Right, exactly.
That's tough. Okay.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
Yeah, I just want to touch on Saturday as far as going out to tailgating and selling for Big Deck. I want to thank everybody that came through. Obviously, I know how diehard Bison fans are. The rain isn't going to stop anybody, especially on homecoming. But I can't thank you all enough for coming through and saying hi to us, buying some sauce, and, you know, obviously getting to know us a little better. It was great to see you all.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
All right, let's get into it. I dubbed this one the Quincy Patterson game. I know C-Dub got player of the game, and I have no issues with that. But this was a very, very good performance from QP2.
Yeah, and, you know, it wasn't like a stuff the stat sheet game, but it was an efficient play-winning football game from Quincy, which I thought was very impressive.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it kind of was a stuff the stat sheet guy. My man led the team in rushing and had two sacks while also throwing it for 8.7 a throw and had two passing sacks. So
fair.
I mean,
apologies, Quincy.
Yeah, you talk about, like, you know, in fantasy football scoring, my guy had, what's that, 18 points rushing.
Quick math.
And another 10, you know, that's a 28-point day. That's useful.
Yeah.
If you're talking about fantasy football.
Sure.
So that, I mean, that's pretty darn good. As you mentioned, I thought he was, look, a little bit off. You know, 11 for 21 is not exactly what you're looking for.
Right.
But you go 13 or 14 for 21 and you're right. You know, you're right there. But the important thing for me was just how stressful those 11 were for the defense and how much they threatened. It was not dink and dunk city. You only completing roughly, you know, just a shade over 50% of your passes and still being at 8.7 yards an attempt, not 8.7 yards of completion, 8.7 yards an attempt. That's getting it done.
Yeah, man, you were throwing strikes at, you know, 11 completions, 8.7, like you mentioned, and obviously the big one to C-Dub, but there was a lot of plays where Quincy was improvising and getting out of the pocket, but finding dudes deep downfield, which I thought was really impressive in his ability to, you know, move the pocket, keep his eyes up and find guys, even in opportunities where he might not have been able to.
17 yards per completion.
That's good.
It is. And what I really, I mean, what he really did for me, was break their will.
Yeah.
You and I want to give, and we'll get to this in a second, but I want to give Jake Brinkman a ton of credit and those defensive tackles. We've mentioned how much we like, you know, a couple of players on NDSU's defensive line on the interior.
Yep.
Those guys are playing 30 snaps a game, 28 snaps a game, 27 snaps a game.
Lots of rotation.
Rotation, rotation, rotation. 44 does not come off the field.
No, for which you and is I. Very impressive because he plays hard until the last snap.
Too. Absolutely. And I'm not saying that makes him a better player than, you know, a Lane Tucker or whatever, but sure. What I'm saying is that is worn as a badge of honor.
Absolutely. I was in the same class as Jake, and, you know, I saw him at camps and stuff. He's a special cat, good dude. I hope nothing but continued success for him unless he's playing NDSU, but I
That's
mean
fair.
The guy is he's a really, really special player.
And what I'm trying to say, I guess, about that is just you could tell they would get NDSU in 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6. And obviously that meant they had pretty good first and second down success.
Yep.
And Quincy would just break contain and pick up a first down with his legs.
Yeah, there's nothing more demoralizing. It was like, you know what it felt like is watching Cam when he was at Auburn. It was like, no matter what, it's at least 3. I'm going to get the first down, even how, no matter how bad it hurts the defense.
number two reference. I like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he just really, really stressed everything that they were doing. I thought defensively, you know, they're getting wins basically on defense. They're having success. And then boom, no first down. You got to go do it for at least three more downs.
Yep.
And you could just see those. You could just see those defensive linemen.
I pointed that out to you after
you did
a couple of the long drives.
You yep.
know, you see hands on the hips. That's a good sign as an offense.
Hands on hips, looking up. You know, trying to catch your breath. That was
peeling yourself off the turf. I mean,
right.
That. But here's the thing, and this goes into a conversation we'll get into later. But the 1 and 2 3-yard runs on first and second down, those add up through 60 minutes.
Yeah,
and
body blows,
and that's where that stuff comes.
Because like Dom Gannella, 5 carries, 12 yards. He can't be thrilled about that. But
right.
his physical nature and just the physical nature of NDSU when they're running those plays, does it always work against a team that has Brinkman? No.
Right.
But you best believe with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, Brinkman's body is feeling. Having to had made those plays.
Homie better have been in the ice bath since he landed in Cedar Falls.
Absolutely. Okay. Balance. I think you feel a lot better about that. 43 runs to 21 passes as opposed to 47 against 11.
Yep.
They got QP going early, which I think was really important. And what's equally as important, or maybe even more important, Christian Watson is not from this planet.
Yeah, we knew that. But, I mean, just... You're thrilled by it every time you see it. And just back to the balance conversation, you and I, their defensive secondary is not awesome.
No.
So that's why I'm sure what went into the game plan of Quincy basically doubling his passing attempts from the week before.
Yeah. I would guess that's true. Specifically, you know, we like Benny Sapp and Omar Brown, but it gets real dicey after that.
Yep.
Man alive, though, Christian Watson. 2 carries, 18 yards, 5 catches for a 163, not just the 85-yard bomb, which was a thing of beauty, play action, pass. As soon as he's even with a defensive back, you know that it's over. I think both the corner, it might have been, I think it was cover 4, and it looked like both the corner and the safety were kind of taking the cheese a little bit. And if you're not in your drop and ready to flip your hips against Christian Watson, it's over. The play is already over.
If I'm a... somebody who's responsible for taking care of Christian Watson, I'm not worried or concerned about filling a gap to play the run. I am watching number one every step.
That's probably fair. They were really concerned about number one for good reason as well in the return game. Pooch Kick City. And I think that really does, you know, stress your defense because you pooch kick it every time. NDSU's 2 first downs away from being in your turf.
Right. The last thing you want is to be starting every drive as a defense on the 35.
Right.
It doesn't matter if Joe Stoffel's returning it. You're on the 35.
Right. Right. That's very, very true. I'm going to defer to you. I don't know how much you've rewatched of this game. I know you had a fun Browns Chargers fiesta yesterday with your boy. But you were there live. What did you think of your protege, young Mr. Brandon Westberg's first start?
I was very impressed with the young man. I know Westy just has the kind of head he has on his shoulders, and I know he's taking this with all the responsibility that is necessary to back up a starting center who's been playing very well. I thought communication was good. I thought Westy played well. I didn't see any obvious things where it was like, this guy should not be on the field. And I think, I mean, as a stand-in guy to come in and replace Jalen Sundell, I thought he played very well, and he should be very happy with his performance.
I agree. You know, I'm still trying to find those best five as far as, you know, maybe going back to more of a rotation. I think we saw the same five the whole day.
Yeah.
And I would like to see more of what Gray Zabel has, more of what Mason Miller has.
Jake Rock.
Yeah. I know they're in competition every week.
Right.
I know, but I would like to see some of that get extended to game reps because, like I mentioned, I mean, this was just an okay day running the ball, 4.2 a carry.
Sure.
But you take some of Quincy's scrambles out of that, the backs were not great.
Right.
Hunter, 4. Kobe, 3.9. Dom, 2.4. Tamarick, 5. And Bus, 1.
Yeah.
That's not Bison football.
Yeah. You know, and just in a player perspective, not, I was the guy who did get rotated in. I wasn't the guy who was out there every play.
Right.
Before, but it can't be easy going through an entire Valley schedule with taking every rep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Cordell is 47 years old. Like, let's take some reps off the leg. Say, you know, not save him, but, like, let's do the NBA load management thing and let's get these guys some burn, especially in some games upcoming where, you know, the talent level might be a point where you can play some younger cats.
For sure. For sure. You and I was good.
Yeah.
That was my big takeaway. You know, I mentioned that I thought they were better than UND. I still feel that way.
I don't think that's a question, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they you know, went to 12 in the polls despite losing to North Dakota State because they looked like they belonged. They looked like they belonged in that game.
That's a playoff team.
On the road. I think I really agree. I think Day is impressive.
Yep.
I like the way that he is able to move in the pocket. I mean, he ended up not leading them in rushing, but tied for leading in attempts. And I know, I would guess, because it's college, they took sacks off of his rushing total.
Right.
But, you know, 10 carries. I thought he had a nice 22-yard run at one point there. He was slippery enough for an offensive line that was getting its ass kicked.
That's the thing. He's not a cat who, like, you really want a game plan.
No, you don't. You
game
don't
plan get, a run offense yeah, around
right.
him. But he was effective enough, especially in the fourth quarter. I was really impressed with, you just saw a drive and a fight in him that, like, okay, I'm going to do what I can to get these boys back. I mean, there were a lot of plays where he was dead to rights, and he ended up getting one or two or, you know, scrambling to the sideline. I was pretty impressed with his performance.
For sure. Speaking of an impressive performance, Jake Brinkman, just wanted to get kind of your thoughts on how impressive that kid is. I think All-American, honestly, for me. I think All-Valley is no question, but yeah. Not just to wreck a game and to, again, like I said, hold Hunter to 4,
right?
Kobe to 3.9, Dom to 2.4, and Bussy to 1. That's getting it done. And not only that, but if he was playing at North Dakota State, he'd be playing half the reps.
Yeah. He would.
That's what's impressive.
He would be extremely dangerous in our defense because he would be fresh the entire time. The way he grinds, and I bet he runs like a 5-minute mile. The dude's conditioning has to be ridiculous. You know, he's a wrestler and has that background, but I can tell you from experience that a lot of the game plan when you play Northern Iowa is based around number 44.
They should see if they can work out like a midseason trade, like a couple of picks and maybe one of these offensive linemen that would play at UNI that isn't playing here.
Right.
And you know.
Because their O-line stinks.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe it's one that has 3 years left to play. And, like, we want these 4 games of Brinkman, man.
I'd like to see Brinkman in a Bison uniform.
That would be fun. Okay. Speaking of studs, Isaiah Weston, man.
Leaguer,
for sure. 5 catches, 181 yards, counting for 181 of their 257 yards passing, averaging 36.2 a reception. On a day that Christian Watson tried to steal the show, Isaiah Weston stole it right back.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think Christian is a little freakier athletic as far as it comes, but Isaiah Weston is a baller, man.
Yeah, he is. And I think C-Dub will get drafted ahead of Isaiah, but ultimately that was an impressive performance. We mentioned, like, it's a tough matchup for NDSU, who does not have an experienced corner and who does not have a tall corner.
That's the thing. It's just a size thing a lot of the times, too, because if Quincy or if Courtney was 6'2", one, he's probably not at North Dakota State.
He's at Georgia.
But two, I mean, there's not a lot you can do when you're 5'9 against 6'4".
Yeah.
And like we've talked about this before, sometimes you just got to tip your cap to a good ball player.
Yep. And that's what he was. And ultimately, you know, some of that stuff was broken plays, but he's just such a threat downfield. I mean, you got poor Jackson Hanky Tampa dropping down the middle and Weston splits the safeties. And if that would have been a sack, or even just a play on a normal time schedule, nothing happens. But because it's a second reaction play, you're just too spread out.
That's a tough ask for any middle linebacker to try to cover. So I'm not too angry at Jackson there. It was just, like you said, it was a good extension of the play by Theo. And then Mr. Weston is impressive. And, you know, it just kind of got caught in the bad play call on defense there.
He is. I will say this. Please stop taking Courtney Eubanks off the field.
I think he's our best corner.
That's nothing against JP or Destin.
No, absolutely not. The kid's just special.
Right. And I get that he fell down on a goal ball. I understand that. But play in, play out, he has been the best corner.
Yeah, and I think that's just the guy. Do whatever in the rotation on the other side of the field. But
right.
I think Courtney should be on the field every play.
I couldn't agree more. Okay. One thing that I want to touch on real quick, the young linebackers, specifically Mr. Cole Wisniewski. I have a very difficult time understanding how you pull the kid off the field. I mean, I do understand, though, that you also don't want to bench Kazer for something that he didn't do. Sure. You know, there's nothing that he did. But, man, 6 tackles, 5 solo stops, 1 sack and an additional quarterback hurry, and he had 2 solo tackles on punt. And those returns went for -1 and 6 total yards.
Right.
So he had 2 special teams tackles on punt returns that went for a net 5 yards.
Here's another thing, too. You want to talk about rotation. I think that's a position where you can do it, especially if Kazer's banged up. Cut his reps in half and let Cole get some burn because, I mean, like you said, he's just too good to not have on the field.
And I will say to this, which is honestly makes no sense and is kind of conflicting. Yes, James Kazer's probably one of your best 11. There's no drop-off when you go to Cole Wisniewski.
No. They're both part of the best 12.
Yeah, right. And you just kind of have to figure it out, right, in my opinion. And it's a great problem to have there are a lot of FCS teams that lose a kid like James Kazer and do not have a Cole Wisniewski to come in and play.
Both of those guys are 80% of FCS teams' best linebacker if they're playing somewhere else.
All right, been a long time since we've done this, and I'm excited about it.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
I'm going to let you get on a quick soapbox, and then I'm probably going to get on a long soapbox.
All right, so, I get the fans being critical and all this stuff, but we're winning games, and we have the tradition that works. I heard all this stuff about halftime adjustments and how we just keep banging our head against the wall. I thought in the first half, our red zone offense was not very spectacular. And you and I said that live, and, you know, we'll get a chance to rewatch the game, and maybe we'll feel different. Maybe it's just you and I stepping up. But the boys, including Mr. Roll up top, did a fantastic job of going in at halftime and figuring out what works in the red zone because they got it done in the second half. So I get out of my mentions about Tyler Roll's play calling. I don't want to hear it. We beat a top 10 team in the country at home on homecoming effectively. The boys played well. The play calling was good. We put 34 on them. End of soapbox. I'm stepping off and giving it to you.
Yeah, and that's – I want to get on the soapbox and just – you people, just get off Coach Roll.
Yeah.
You have to stop.
He's good at his job.
I understand that you think when they don't have success that they're banging their head against the wall. And I was hoping for a little bit more offensive balance against UND too. But they won the game.
Yeah.
And right now, your best version of your offense is to run the football.
Give them some numbers, Ross.
North Dakota State has the #1 run offense in the country in yards per game. North Dakota State has the #1 run offense in the country on yards per carry. So they're not just winning on the ground because they run it more than everybody else. They're also running it more effectively than everybody else. They are getting more yards per carry than any team in the country when they run the football. That's why they do it a lot. So even when you see the 1 and 2 yard carries and you get frustrated, you need to understand that there are 22 and 23 and 28 and 38 yard carries coming down the line.
Literally every other team in the country would beg for this offensive production. And it's because NDSU has done so well in trouncing opponents and winning by 50, and it's 50 yard runs. You see it 8 times in the game. When you grind people up and chew them out, it's an effective way to play football.
And not only that, they're averaging 35.4 yards a game, or 35.4 points a game. This NDSU defense is not giving up 36 points,
which is a top 20.
Yeah, top 20 in the country in scoring defense.
Are you mad about that?
A lot of people are.
Why?
A lot of people want the coordinator fired.
Why?
The defense right now is giving up 8.6 points per game.
This Code Green, sorry to interrupt you, but this Code Green team really has potential to go down as one of the best units that have ever stepped on the Fargo Dome field.
The defense is giving up 8.6 points per game. They have beaten two ranked conference opponents, one at home and one on the road. They're not just doing it against scrub teams. If NDSU scores 17 points, they're going to win the game. And if they only score 17 points, you're all going to complain about Tyler Roll.
Right.
But they're not scoring 17 points. They are scoring 35.4 points per game with the number one rushing offense in the country and the number one yards per carry offense in the country. Stop. Please stop. Get out of our mentions about firing Tyler Roll. Stop.
Hey, like, it sounds kind of like kind of a weird thing to say, but it's okay to be happy and enjoy a Bison win. It's okay. It's not against the rules. You can be happy the Bison won. You don't have to complain about anything else. You know, victory Monday feels sweeter than a loss Monday.
It does.
Be happy.
But unfortunately, like, this fan base has just been conditioned to win 50 to rip. And
also, and you know, I'm going to speak in generalities here, and 90% of Bison fans are the greatest humans on earth, but
the 10% are loud.
They're loud, and you're not as offensively football genius as you think you are. I promise. There's a lot of nuance. There's a lot of stuff that goes on that you don't understand, and that's okay to admit. I'm not going to walk into a doctor's office and be like, well,
you know, this is how you should reconstruct my knee.
This is how you should do it. No, the man knows what he's doing. That's his job. It's his profession. And I'm not going to go in and call for him to lose his job if he does something wrong.
All right. Stepping off. finally, we're not going to do a huge Illinois State preview until later on in the week. We'll get into that later. But I did want to say, kind of ask you, because Quincy Patterson, I think, had the quote of the press conference where he said, we just beat UNI by two touchdowns, and I don't think we played very well.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, I think putting up 34 against UNI is impressive, and mm-hmm. and I, you know, I called it 34-10. 34-20 is close enough, I guess. But
it's a good win.
I mean, I just thought if you get into the 30s against this defense, you make your statement that you're a national title contender again. And,
yeah.
And that's what they've done. I mean, they're the number two team in the country. What do they need to work on moving forward? Quincy Patterson said we won by two touchdowns and we didn't play that well. What does play that well look like? What do they need to do better?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you take away Quincy's scrambles. I don't know if the rushing numbers are that great. But I think that's a thing. Knowing these guys and the personalities that are in the offensive line room, they wouldn't tell you they've been playing well this great or up to their potential. They've played well. I would say they haven't played their best game yet. So I think, you know, whatever one of you five wants to come yell at me, I'll listen to you, but I'll tell you you're wrong because you're my friend. I know these guys can play better. I think being more efficient as far as that goes, you know, as it goes against the numbers we just listed off, but, you know, there's little assignment things that still need to get cleaned up. And then, you know, QP's been playing well, but the man doesn't have a lot of starting experience. This is his first real rip at leading a football team and
yep.
being able to do this. I think he's still kind of finding his footing. I don't even necessarily think it's things that are going wrong. It's just things that are in the process of becoming to the level that they expect.
All right. Zach, want to thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Want to thank Big Deck Barbecue for sponsoring the show. Want to thank all you wonderful people for listening to this show. And everybody, have a fantastic rest of your week. And go Bison.